have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Yeah, K-Web, we got the messenger, Scoop, God Squad, what up Grace, yeah, hey check this out.
Yeah,
hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Who Squad?
Cause I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Live the life of sin. I thank God that I'm alive. Guns drawn at me at 16. I didn't die. People thought I'd be in jail cause I used to steal. But I never been to jail. I'ma keep it real.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus turned my life around and he let me know.
Let me know.
If you keep sinning, man, in hell is where you finna go.
Go.
Then he gave me a wife and a family. Tons of blessings, now I'm stunting on the enemy.
Stunt.
I live for Christ, I ain't perfect, I ain't hurting. Tell the devil I'm with Jesus, cause I know he out here searching. Man, I'm working on the beat. For the Lord, you know I'm wildin'. And as long as Jesus with me, I'ma always keep on smiling.
Hey, I got favor,
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Who Squad?
Cause I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Walk through the storm. Search for my spiritual. Pushed by the wrongs, persuaded by material. Sunday it was church, Monday back to thugging. Tuesday on the block, Wednesday I was lusting. Thursday chased girls, Friday played how. 30 I was sipping, your boy was wilding out. He's bringing out the best now, I'm poking out my chest now. Something about his name, no lie, feeling fresh now.
Glory. These spiritual weights got me strong in the word. I'm drunk in the gospel, the reason I swerve. My picture was blurry, so my father repainted. My soul was dirty, tossed it up and reclaimed.
Hey, I got favor,
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Yeah.
Cause I got favor.
God Squad.
Okay, now won't he do it? You ain't gotta put no logic to it. You ain't gotta put no signs to it or no bastards to it. In the natural, when the spirit moving, I love my God. Got me walking straight with my head high and I ain't never being no stunt guy. Got two kids and a blessed wife. God cooks his favorite punch and I'm all in. Got room, wanna serve a bunch. Don't walk all filled up. Never knew it was there. Now you standing with your hands up. That's when that hand touch and the glory of God drop in about to flood up. Everybody put a praise up cause I'ma do it within. You got a heartbeat, stand up. This world can't tame us when we know the deal. You stressing, sitting, guessing if the love is real. My favor ain't determined by my shining will. God is all I know. I know it is spiritual.
Hey, I got favor.
I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, Lord.
Forget a hater.
Forget a hater.
Cause I got favor.
Cause I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Yes, I got favor.
Hey, I got favor.
God Squad.
Yes, I got favor.
God Squad.
Forget a hater.
Who Squad?
Cause I got favor.
God Squad.
Hey, I
Hey, I got favor. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to Relentless Pursuit with Minister Cedric. On Elation Radio, today is a beautiful day. It's Friday, July the 30th, and over half of the year is already gone. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I just want to say welcome, everybody. And I tell you, it has been, it's just been, life is what life is, so it's been tough, but it's been really good. I wanted to talk with you tonight. I'm glad to be back again. Thank you, Sister Kim. Thanks to all my friends, everybody with well wishes. I've kind of been going through some things, but it's been a blessing. It has been a blessing. So with that being said, I want to kind of get us started tonight. Just something simple. Wanted to have a little talk. I've been talking to some people, and you know, a lot of us have questions about, man, who God really is, or what God really does for us, or how even identify God. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight. Tonight I got my good buddy on with me, a really good friend of mine, co-host I like to call him, Jason. I wanted to go ahead and introduce him and bring him on. Let us go ahead and talk a little bit about what our topic is tonight. Jason, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, sir. Can you hear me?
Barely. You're a little low, but I can hear you. You'll be on my
side. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How you doing today?
Good. It's been wonderful. I've been taking care of a little low. But no, I've been just taking care of business, man. Life has been grand. Oh, man, it seems like it's been a minute since we talked. Anything changed in your life?
No, you know, just working and, you know, trying to manage through this pandemic thing. You know, business is opening back up. Mine is one of them. You know, I'm trying to navigate that. Same old. So, you know, just making through life.
So it's funny you mentioned the pandemic, because I know in my case, I know a number of people who just, I like to say they're not taking it seriously, but I don't know. You know, I can't really say that for certain. But, I mean, how is it affecting your day-to-day life? Or how has it been affecting your day-to-day life?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been going to the office probably for the last year. But the thing about it, there's been no one in the office but myself. But so as I get more people back in the office, It's interesting to see how people. It's almost like people forgot that we were still in COVID, right? Because as I watch people operate, you know, it's kind of like, you know, just how they're moving about. You know, they're moving about like nothing's changed. And I'm like, I understand that we definitely want to get back to our normal. You know, because you know the last year and a half has been something crazy and unprecedented. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. It's just interesting to watch how people, you know, just how people are just moving about, you know. So for my daily life right now, we're good. But I'll tell you, for the first time in about a year, I'm kind of uncomfortable going into the office. And I'm thinking that maybe work from home is a better spot for me, you know.
Wow.
Because I watch people navigate and operate, like, you know, I know I've taken precautions, fully vaccinated, done all those things. But I know a lot of people in there aren't, and how they're just moving about and milling about, like, you know, I'm like, man, hold on, you know, it just further reinforces what we've always talked about, especially during this time, how people are not thinking about the other person, right? And you're not thinking about, you know, let me be a little more cautious. You know, I still wear my mask everywhere I go, and I don't do it because I'm worried about me. I want to be cautious to make sure that if for some reason I am carrying something, I'm trying to keep that to myself and not spread that to anybody else. You know, is mask comfortable? No. Makes my glasses fall off because for some reason they slip off all the time. I've almost stepped on my glasses more times than I can count, right? But, you know, it's an inconvenience I'll take, you know. I can always fix a pair of broken glasses. You can't always get that loved one back if you can. So I'm like, man.
Wow.
So, it's been interesting.
Like what are some of the reasons? Because I'm gonna tell you from in the very beginning, I was extremely skeptical about getting the vaccine, and I remember on a couple of the other podcasts we've been on, we had a couple of doctors on, which happened to be African American doctors, and that was by design. I was against the vaccine personally. And, you know, I started saying, well, you know, I know God. I know the God I serve. And I listened to these doctors, and these doctors said, well, but you know what? I've had the vaccine. I've taken it, and this has been my symptoms. And I got through it. Everything was good. And after 2 shows with these 2 doctors, I decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get the vaccine. And just having a conversation with them, it made me realize something. Because one of the arguments, and I hope I'm not rambling, but one of the arguments that I get from people is, I trust God and I know God, and I don't need no vaccine. How the people you come, or better than that, you, what if you've been vaccinated? What made you get vaccinated ultimately, and were you ever skeptical, or have you not been vaccinated for whatever reason? Where do you stand in that spectrum?
So, of course, like I said, I've been vaccinated, and the main reason I did it, like I said, is about thinking about my fellow man, right? I'm not concerned about myself. You know, I don't have any pre-existing conditions. I'm, you know, fairly healthy young man, you know, middle-aged man, so I'm good, right? But I spent a lot of time with my mom, and she's in her 70s, and she does have pre-existing conditions. My sister, she's got some pre-existing conditions. So I know I want to be around them. I know I had the potential to carry this thing and then give it to them unknowingly. I'm going to be fine, but will they, right? And I think this has been a challenge because, you know, I don't think this is a question of faith. Right. I don't think it's like, oh, I'm doing this because I don't trust God. You know, we do have to think about our fellow man. We do have to think about, like, other people, you know. And so it's interesting that you brought that up, you know, where people say, I have faith in God. And it's funny, my mom's a nurse, and, you know, so she knows the medicine, but she's also a very well-developed Christian. And she speaks certain things like, you know, sometimes God's put people on his earth to do certain things in his will. So he gives us vaccines. You know, I don't see people saying, I'm not going to take the chickenpox vaccine because I trust God. I'm not going to take the polio vaccine. Right? So it's kind of like, you know, let that migraine come on you. I'm not going to take this migraine medicine because I trust God. It's like, come on, man. We know God has put people in our life for certain reasons. But on the other hand, I understand what people's hearts are. And you know, I don't think you do anything out of fear. Right? You should never operate out of fear because God, our God is not a God of fear. You know, you operate out of faith.
Yeah, so you don't do anything out of fear?
Well, I mean, we should. I don't think so. I don't think fear comes from God, you know?
Really?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think fear is one of those things that comes from God.
But isn't there a scripture that says we should fear God?
That's the only thing.
I don't want to confuse anybody.
You're right. I can't say anything. There should be one thing we operate out of fear, and that's our reverence for God. All right, that's a good point. But other than that, right?
Yeah. Right.
We talk about our circumstances in this world, but yeah. So, I've heard that argument, you know, and you know, you and I have talked about this, and I think this has been sad on two fronts, right? You see how selfish we are as a community, as a country.
Yeah.
How money hungry we are, and then the part that breaks my heart is the church itself, it wasn't just good enough that okay, if this church decided to do it and this one, you know, we are bad mouthing each other, right? In the middle of this pandemic, you know, we're and I'm like, man, this is not. It just, that breaks my heart because the body of Christ has to be unified. And even though we may not agree and we may take different functions and different routes, there should never be a point where we're, and when I say the body, I'm talking about the corporate body across all, you know, countries, nationalities.
Corporate.
Because
corporate body.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, the corporate body. Because here's the deal.
And by that, you're talking about churches and fellowship in church and whatever we want to call it, right?
Right, right. Because here's the deal.
Okay.
We're here for the non-believers. And if they're looking at us and we're being just divided and just – if we look just like the world, then why would they even try to say, I don't need to know what you're doing because you're doing the exact same thing I'm doing. You know?
Yes.
And it's costing me my son. So,
yeah,
hold on.
So I asked him to make donations, right?
Exactly. It's like, hold on. You're doing the exact same thing I'm doing. I don't get to watch football on Sundays, and I got to give you 10%. Nah, I'm good, bro.
Because I was saying that's funny because in that, when we think like that, do you think we truly know God? Do you think we truly understand God? You know, because like I'm more into, personally, you know, when I talk to people about God, any kind of evangelism for me, I basically will start it with just this. You know, you have to know God for yourself. And a lot of people, sometimes they'll shake their heads and act like they know what I'm talking about. But I always say, do you really know what that means to know God? And truthfully, after hearing them answer, I personally sometimes, not all the time, I get to the belief that their words sound really good, and it sounds like they know what they're talking about, but what they're doing is repeating what they've already heard or repeating what they've read somewhere. You know, if they don't truly, here it is. And the one place I think when we get to know God, it starts, and I tell people this all the time, it really, truly starts in your mind, and it permeates into your heart. When you know God, your heart, there is a connection there in your heart, something that yearning that we have, it seems to be satisfied. And what I mean by that is that I don't think that on our own as human beings that we can actually truly know God, right? But I think because of our mindfulness, our spirit connection with God, that it will help us to overcome that sinfulness that keeps us separated from God, right? And so I try to talk to people on that level. I try to get with people just on that level initially, because if you don't have a good foundation, you can't build a good structure. You won't form a great relationship. It won't be a strong bond if it's just superficial. And that's what I've been struggling with people with. That's what keeps me kind of on guard with people. Because with this whole pandemic thing, I'm telling you, this pandemic, really, if you really think about it, it is testing our faith on so many levels. It's just like you said, Jason, about God sends people in our lives. Doctors are allowed to do what they do, not because they will themselves, but because I believe that God allows it. The pandemic, it's not doing what it's doing to this world, not just America, but this entire world, because that's what it wants to do. It's because God allows it. He allowed the plagues. I mean, we can go back in the Bible and talk about those three plagues. I believe it's allowed to do what it's doing for a purpose. I don't know the reason behind it, but there's a purpose for it. And I think that as we try to get to know God, God will reveal some answers to us. But I think even if he doesn't, if you have a good relationship, if you truly have a relationship with Christ, you don't actually need to know the exact answer. And, you know, I was looking. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
No. I just want to jump in. I think you said something there, you know, because that word that you use, I think, is a word that people struggle with. You know, God allowed it, right? Like, you can't tell me I got an all-powerful God that doesn't have control. Will struggle with that, right? Why would that happen to me? Why would God allow that? And when you talk about, I love how you phrase it. When you talk about, do you know God? I always go the route about, you know, it's a relationship, right? And to your point, Where do most relationships start? You know, if I see an attractive woman, it starts in my head. I start interacting with her. It moves to my heart. Now I'm moving in a way that, like, she becomes a priority. And I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what can I do to please her? You know, that's the same thing in our relationship with God. You know, but I think a lot of times when we talk about that, I think, you know, when you say he allows it, I think that sometimes disrupts the relationship, because either people take the approach that, well, you know, I've heard people say, well, the devil did it. I'm like, we can't give the devil so much power, right? You know?
All right.
And then on the opposite end, well, if God's so good, why does he allow this stuff to happen? We can't take the responsibility away from men. And I think that's a struggle for people, right? To when you say the thing that God's allowing. I'm in the same boat that you are. God allowed this to happen. For what reason? I don't know. But here's what I do know, that I read about plagues and famine in the world, you know, in Scripture. And you know what? We were able to make it through the end, and our God is still just as powerful and strong in spite of that. So when it's all said and done and over, he's still going to be just as powerful and strong. And I think that's where our relationship has to kind of start getting to. And when we talk about knowing God, you know, it's just knowing every aspect and every character of God, not just the ones that you like or to make you feel good, but every character of God.
And it's funny because we read in the Word, in the Word of God, in Romans 6, it says something, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And think about that. You know, not just the pandemic causes death today, even though right now it's the biggest killer of Americans, right? Even bigger than heart disease at this point, but God allows it, and maybe we are paying for our past sins, you know, maybe we are paying for our current sins, but the wages of sin is death, and we need to understand that, and that's what the Word tells us, but the fact is, in knowing God, see, that's one of the things we have to accept. When you get to know God, you have to accept these things, because the Bible says, as many receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You know, when we turn to God, when we turn to God and we give everything to God, when we start to get to know God, that's basically what we do. Once you start to get to know God, you start to practice giving your all to him. You start to practice allowing him to be in control, allowing him to be your Lord. And being lorded over is a lot of things people don't understand, but we allow him to be our Lord. So we have to believe that, right? You know, because I just believe that once we get to this understanding, this truth, when it comes to knowing God, is that it is him, you know, and he is the reason for the season. When we get to that, we can start building a relationship. And I know I keep talking about that, but we have to give it to him, you know. And I think that when we get to know God personally, we allow God to simply know us for who we are. And what I mean by that, through all of our sins. You know, you can't hide nothing from God. You can get on, crawl under a rock. You can go under a bridge. You can go behind closed doors. You can turn off all the lights and go in a cave. It don't matter. God can still see you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He knows it all. He sees everything. And Jesus said it, you know, because we got to believe in him, because it says that what is it? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know, that tells me we need to spend a lot of time getting to know who Christ is. We need to spend a lot of time on that, because we never get to step two if we can't get past step one. And so I'm saying all that to say that in this pandemic, do you feel like your relationship with Christ has grown stronger or weaker?
I would say stronger, right? Because for me, you know, like when I see what some people will see as adverse circumstances, adverse situations, what I see is God's glory manifested, right? And, you know, how can you say God's glory manifests when you got, to your point, this disease that's killed more Americans than heart disease, and it's constantly running rampant. And all I can say is I know my God has a plan for all this, and I trust him, right? And then if you think about it, the darker things get, that brighter that light is when it comes out. And the light's going to come out. We know it, man.
Yeah.
That's just a prompt. God, it's going to come out. And when we're on the other side of it, and this is just personal experience. There have been some just sad times in my life, down times in my life. And I'll tell you, when I come out of it, when I'm actually even more blessed because I've seen the opposite end of it, right? You know? So I think you say something there when you say, you know, we got to personally know him. And I think that's the key point, is to know him personally and allow him to know you personally. Because I think we fool ourselves, you know, to, you know, we can get away with doing some of the stuff we do in the dark, you know. And I'll tell you, I don't think the church promotes this in a sense that I know people who are doing all kinds of stuff, but all they care about is, oh, no, our pastor can't find out. I mean, you know, I heard somebody say, I ain't got a heaven or hell to put you in. So
yeah,
the person you should be worried about is not your pastor. You know, it's a man who already seen you do it. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, but that goes to your point where you personally know him, where you personally know him as what, and I think, you know, to kind of like to kind of expand that, what experience have I had with God so that I know him? And I think that's where a lot of people struggle. You know, there's three words I don't believe exist in the mouth of a Christian: fate, F-A-T-E, chance, or luck. Right? You know, those things don't exist because a sovereign God plans out the things that everything that happens to me is sifted through the hand of God. You know, so there's no such thing as fate, F-A-T-E, or luck or chance. You know. So if you start approaching your life that way and you start seeing some of these things, you're like, man, look how God's moving in my life, you know. But I think that's the key point, like you said, to personally know him, you know, to know him for yourself, not from what other people are telling you, not just from what you read about him, not from what your mama said about him or your brother or even the pastor, what he says about him. It's about you personally.
Man. Because that's the funny thing, because a lot of times I've run into people and they place these requirements on knowing God. Like, well, when I get my life together, I'm going to go to church. For real? Do you really think that you can get your life together like that? And I just try to get people to understand that there are no real prerequisites. There's none. Open up your heart. That's it. First thing you do is you open up your heart as you get to build a relationship. And building a relationship with Christ, it can be very complicated or it can be extremely simple. You know, building a relationship with Christ, a lot of people think I'm crazy when I say it, but you know how sometimes you have your little kids when they're very young, they have these imaginary friends?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to believe that Christ is real, approach it from that standpoint. Just start talking to them. Just start talking to them, right? And I'm telling you, eventually, in those chats that you have, you'll start to get some answers and you'll start to realize, oh, I'm not just talking to myself. Oh, I'm not just putting these words out into the atmosphere. They do not return to me void. Man, I'm telling you, the word of God just doesn't do that. It comes back and then you build that relationship. But you know, and then we start to learn things as we pick up the Bible and we read about the promises of God just in the Bible, and then we start to really accept those. See, I always tell people, again, there's no real prerequisite. Jesus came to breathe life into us, right? And how did he do it, right? He was sent here for that. He offered himself as a living sacrifice to atone for all of our sins, right? And why is that important, Jason? That's important because we need to understand that our sins will not keep us from knowing God, because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Christ came to bridge the gap, right? Without him being the bridge in the gap, we could never get to God. that sovereign right. God that we talk about, it can't be possible. And so, again, the first step in bridging the gap and getting there is to know, understand, and believe what Christ said. And so that for me, that's a big part. Cause, you know, we read the Bible, and I've heard the Bible called many things. And one of the things that fascinated me most, I was looking at this movie. It was called, and ironically, I met the person who wrote the movie. It was called Dinner with a Stranger. And in the book, he calls the Bible a love letter, right? He basically says the greatest love letter ever written. And he actually, I think his name was Jefferson Moore. I want to give him credit. He spoke at our church here in Kentucky. But the movie was filmed here, and they've gone on to make a total of four movies, but the fourth one is not really part of the trilogy that they made, Dinner with a Stranger, and I think it was called Dinner with a Perfect Stranger was the book. But he calls the Bible the greatest love story ever written. And what he was basically saying, even in the movie, was that when you read in the Bible, you know, even though it talks about there's a lot of death and destruction in the Bible, but even though it talks about that, the Bible is basically God's way. He's sending us a letter, and he's saying, look, I put this down on paper for you because I love you that much, and I need you to know me intimately. I need you to know me deeply. And a lot of us aren't willing to do that. I mean, how many people do you know, Jason, they just want a superficial relationship with Christ, just like they do, I hate to say this, just like they do with their spouses. They treat a relationship with God the way they treat human relationships. How many
yep.
people have you met like that? And you know, I think that,
You know, when we talk about that, treat that relationship, you know, honestly, sometimes I see they treat it worse. Right. You know, like I know people who say, well, God knows my heart, and keep acting in a way that they know doesn't please God. And the question I've always asked them is, like, if someone did something that you didn't like and they know you don't like it and they continue to do it, all they say is, well, Jason knows my heart. How would that make you feel? Right. And I've heard so many people say that, you know, so sometimes I look at people and their relationship, and it's almost they take the God's grace almost as for granted, you know, or as you know, Paul wrote about this, just because you've been forgiven don't mean you get to go out there and just wild out. Right. You know, I see people take so much care and attention. Ooh, such and such coming to the church. Oh, this pastor's coming to this mega church. Let's clean up. Let's get it up. Make sure we got our clothes all nice and clean. And they go through all this stuff for this person, but yet and still be in that room cussing out everybody and not even trying to clean themselves up for God. I'm like, really? You know, so I sometimes see the opposite, where they actually, because of God's grace and love, and because it's so forthcoming, people just almost take it for granted. Now, here's the sad part. The most of the people I see operating that way is the people who truly know about God's love and grace. You know, it's not the people who don't know God, because they take the opposite approach. They're like, oh, I'm too good, I'm too dirty, or I'm too dirty, I'm too bad, God can never love me. Those are those unbelievers who don't truly know God. But then as we come to know God and we come to embrace, like, man, look how much grace and forgiveness he gives us. Man, I will tell you, I've seen some of the challenging relationships with God from those people. Because in that phrase, they always say, oh, God knows my heart. I'm like, wow, he does. You know, do you, though? Because if you truly had a heart for God, you know, you wouldn't be acting and operating like this, you know. And I tell you, over these last couple of months, I've just come to, God just revealed something to me. You got, when it comes to our sin, you got three different areas. You got people who dwell in it and just think that they can't be nobody who you know, because they've sinned. You got people who dismiss it oh, God knows my heart, I'm going to be okay. And neither one of those are where God wants us. We have to just deal with it, right? And part of dealing with it is God has done his part. He's already forgiven us for it. But our part is to understand, like, man, what's in me that allowed me to go against this God that I love? You know, so,
right.
You know, I think there's a lot to be said about how we deal with sin and how we interact with sin, because, like I said, you know, I've seen that, like you said, the point you made, I've almost seen the opposite, where people almost take their relationship with God for granted because he's so giving, you know, and if you're a parent, you know what that feels like.
Yeah, that's funny because I meet some people, like I know all kinds of people. I know people who don't know a lick of scripture, and I know people who truly can quote scripture. I know one guy, man, this guy can quote scriptures like you would not believe. And if you talk to him, you're like, wow. If you try to follow him, you're like, wow. I don't know everything about him, but I've met people like that. And then when you get through to them, I've met those people who are, they don't care. It seems like they don't care. I don't know if they do or not because I don't know their heart. But they don't care. And I tell them all the time when you start talking about the Bible, because I meet people who question certain scriptures. Like, Jason, you remember Chris was on. And he kept saying, well, who were they talking to? He was trying to quote some scriptures that he didn't really know or understand the scripture. He wanted to make a point, and the point he wanted to make was God was talking to blacks. God was talking to the African-Americans. And I'm like, man, but you can't omit the scripture before and the scripture after just to concentrate on this one point, because I try to get them to understand that all scripture is from God, right? And it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for I think the scripture quote goes something like this: All scriptures breathe out by God and profitable for preaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. I think a lot of times people don't get that. It's not most scriptures; it's all scripture. I had a discussion with a young man not too long ago, and he was saying, "Well, why do preachers always preach out of the Old Testament?" I'm like, "Man, that's just the one preacher you listen to." I said, most of the pastors that I know and most of the preachers I know, they use all the scriptures. They use the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the point he was trying to make was he thought that pastors were, quote-unquote, hypocritical because he says, well, they only teach out of the New Testament. I say, well, if you read the Old Testament, it guides you to the New Testament. If you read the New Testament, you refer back to the Old Testament. Each book pushes you in either direction, so it doesn't matter. And I think that we need to understand that. And I was telling him, we need to understand that when you start having and developing your own relationship with Christ, there's a commitment. And that commitment that you make with God is that you will obey his word, not
right.
Try to transform it. Because you know how it is. Once you add up to the word of God, you change the word. It's no longer his word. It's your own word. You put a comma where there's not supposed to be a comma. You add an S to something that doesn't have an S. It's no longer God's word. It's your word. You transformed it into what you wanted it to be. And I think that when you want to get to know God, that responsibility falls on you, is to read God's word the way it is written, right? And when you start to get to know Christ, you start to get to know God, listen, this is what happens. A light comes on, and God starts to reveal himself to you through scripture, right? And I think it's our responsibility to continue that throughout our entire life cycle. And we need to pass it on to friends, through our family. It needs to be a generational thing. It needs to be a communal thing. I think that our relationship with Christ, yes, we have a personal relationship with God. But I'm telling you now, if you have a personal relationship with God, what happens? You become blessed. And there's this thing called overflow, where you are so blessed that people who come in contact with you are blessed. And I think to truly know God is to understand those basic principles. And I think that it requires commitment from us. Going back to what's going on in our day and our times right now, man, think about this. We're talking about a pandemic that has, we know for a fact, over 600,000 people have died in the last 18 months from COVID. right? From one variant or the other. Over, this is just America. They're not talking about worldwide. I'm sure the number's in the millions worldwide. Why are we making this political? Why are we saying, I'm not going to have the vaccine because, well, a Democrat told me to take this vaccine, or I'm not going to take this vaccine because people are trying to kill me. I'm not going to take this vaccine because they got microchips in this vaccine, and when they inject you with it, they inject you with some sort of tracking device. Why are we believing in it? If we truly believe in God, we truly believe that a lot of things happen because of God. If we're not going to take the vaccine, why can't we just say, you know, I don't trust it and I don't want to take it? Why do we have to make it so political? Is that because we don't think God has a say in what's going on? Why do you think people are like that?
I think you hit on it. I think that, you know, when we talk about faith, and because to know God and to get in a personal relationship is to come face to face with true faith, right? Cedric, I see you, right? I don't see you because you're in Kentucky, but I can come see you. I can come get to know you. We can go out, you know, go hang out, just get some pizza, you know, go watch a movie, go to a football game. I can come to know you and build my relationship with you. And a lot of people, when they're building that relationship with God, I get the feeling that because there's not a physical presence, it just doesn't allow that closeness. But what they don't understand is when you really start to know God, you will feel him physically in your life. You will feel his presence. When you're sitting there eating that pie to ice cream because you just broke up with your third or fourth girlfriend, he'll be sitting there comforting you, and you'll be feeling like, you know what, I'm feeling a little better. And you might not know why, but the reality is that's God's comfort to you. You know, when you're in that dark alley and things are dark and, you know, you go, man, I'm hearing all kinds of noises, but all of a sudden you feel like, I'm feeling a little bit better. You know, I think we'll be okay. That's God comforting you. And you know, so I think people are resonating toward the things that they see that tangible, right? But I don't think they really truly understand, as you come to know God, you're going to have a tangible experience with him. You know, you're going to have something inside you move and get directed, but you, like you said, it does take work. You know, just like, you know, I always try to, I work with kids, so I try to put this in terms they understand. When you meet that girl, that girl you first met, she didn't really move you. You probably thought she was kind of cute, but as you spent time with her and you got to know her, now she starts moving your heart and your mind. And understand, that came over time, and it came because it was commitment. Because you picked up the phone, I wonder what she's doing. Let me call her right now, right? That's how we're supposed to approach our relationship with God. If we truly want to know him on that personal level, like we know other things. But I think with the political part of it, I think things are gotten political, and honestly, it's even happened in the church, is because, you know, I think this thing has rocked us. Right, this pandemic has rocked us, and we're looking for stability. And our circumstances are rocked, and we're looking for stability in our circumstances. When we don't understand that, man, I know a God that's greater than any circumstances. Right, when the waters are crashing against a boat, and there's a big storm, he can just walk on them like they're nothing. You know, he's not fated by circumstances. And if I connect myself with him, I'll be able to walk in that same level of comfort and security. But I think what we're seeing now is a lot of people, as their circumstances get rocked, they trying to find comfort in the circumstances, whether it's with this party or with that party. You know, oh, well, this party believes that, and that makes me comfortable, so I'm gonna keep spitting that out. But that party believes this, so it makes me feel comfortable, so I'm going to spit that out. So I think what you're seeing in these people, you said it earlier, I think there is something that we're all seeking from a relationship, from a level of comfort, and we try to fill it with all kinds of things, you know. And I think what we're seeing now is that political arena is taking, people are trying to fill it there, and all it does, it further divides you and creates more instability in you.
That's saying a whole bunch, because you know, when we talk about giving it all to God and seeing that he's in control. Remember, I tell you the story about when I had my accident, how I broke my neck and broke my leg and all that stuff, right? And I'm going to tell you, you know, sometimes your faith has to be tested, and I believe that God will test our faith at times. Well, I like to think of that as a very seminal point in my life, because here I am. One minute I'm joking with a friend, trying to, you know, trying to go about my business, not wanting to do certain things. The next second I'm on the ground and I can't move. Right? I open my eyes. I try to get up off the ground because I feel this compression in my spine, and when I crashed on the ground, I crashed on my right shoulder. And check this out. I try to get up, and I say, and I can't move. And then I say, I kind of say to myself, get up, move legs, move arms. Nothing happened. And the next instant, I'm looking up at my buddy, and he's kind of frantic. And he takes off, and I'm laying there by myself, and I'm saying, oh, God. And then all of a sudden, I realize what just happened, and I can't move. And here it is. Here it is. And I say it's a very seminal event in my life, because check this out. The only thing I knew to do, and I thought to do, I guess, I don't remember thinking anything else. And I don't even know if I thought about it. I just did it. I closed my eyes, and I said, Lord, if it be your will. I didn't say what. I didn't say what was his will. I just said, Lord, if it be your will. I opened up my eyes. The sky is as clear as it's ever been. Like, it was already a bright, sunny day. But, man, it was 8K. It was high def, right? I could hear and see things. Like, birds were flying over, and I could see up. And it was like I could see their feathers blowing in the wind. Now, mind you, these birds aren't 2 feet off the ground. They're up in the sky, but I could see their feet underneath their bottoms, right? And I could see the feathers blowing on their wings, and I could hear something on the ground. I couldn't move my head, but the grass was tall, and I could look out of the corner of my eye, and I'm serious, I promise. I could see little ants scurrying on their way, carrying stuff. And, like, I'm in this moment of just amazement, but check this out. It's a very tranquil moment. There's no disturbance. And I do want to add, I still couldn't move. You know, because that's the moment you want to try to move, right? I still couldn't move. But there was a peace and a calm that came over me. I'm serious. Like, I had never felt that peaceful or calm before. And I had been in some high-stress situations where I've been rescued from, and I felt that feeling of relief. Anxiety was gone. I felt nothing. No relief, no anxiety. It was like, I was okay. It was in my head. I had reconciled that, God, you got this. I'm just going to be a passenger on the bus, and I'm going to let you drive. And for me, that was something that said, do you trust God? And I believe that in that moment in time, I answered, yes, I trust God. I wasn't panicked. I wasn't like, oh, God. No, it was, okay, Lord, let this be your will. Was I concerned? Yes, I was. But by the time the paramedics arrived, this was the beautiful thing, because there are a number of people around at this point, and there was a couple of doctors and a couple of nurses out there as well. I couldn't move. I couldn't feel anything. But I'm guessing 15, 20 minutes passed. I don't really know. Right? I felt like a drip of water in my thumb as I'm laying on the ground. And a few seconds later, I felt my right hand started to warm up. Like, it started to get warm. Like, I wasn't, you know, not that I was feeling cold, but my hand started to heat up. And within seconds after that happened, I could actually, barely, but I could move my fingers on my right hand and then my left hand. And then a few minutes later, I could move my arms. I could never feel or move my legs, but man, you're talking about a blessing. I said, God, you know what? You are in control. And it was just the most remarkable thing for me. So I'm saying that, and I tell that story to say this, that sometimes, you know, we have to, when we reach and we try to have that one-on-one, that relationship with God, we have to know and understand that it's all in His hands. You know, we have to give it to Him. What His will is what will be. You know, thy will be done. It's God, it's your will. Let your will be done. And how has that affected my relationship with God? Man, imagine this. I'm at the hospital and the doctor says to me in one of our conversations, you are extremely lucky. And I'm saying, why? Well, this usually doesn't happen. I'm thinking, what doesn't happen? He said, people who come into the ER in the state that you were in with x-rays like you had, they never walk again. They never use their arms again. Listen, he looked at my x-rays, and I've gone over my x-rays dozens of times with several different doctors, and they all say the same thing. There's no way that you should have been able to move anything. You should be paralyzed from the neck down. Every one of them told me that. And it was the most incredible thing. But again, that goes back to my relationship with God. I wasn't even worried about it. I was leaning on him at that point. I wasn't trying to fix it myself because I couldn't fix it. And that's the type of – when you have a relationship with Christ, I believe that that's what it takes. It takes knowing this. And even though if God has seen fit for me never to – for me to be paralyzed from the neck down for life, oh, man, you can't. I can't tell you. I know that there would be a ton of grief out there. I would be. I know I would. But I just believe that because when we give it all to Him, He has His will in our lives, and I believe that we benefit from that. I think if I'd be paralyzed from the neck down, I think there would still be some greatness that come out of it. I think that God would still be the one in control. I feel like I would still say, God, this is your life, not mine. And I think that when we get to that point, and that's where we all need to be, when you start talking about trusting God and believing in God, because I hear a lot of people, especially in the pulpit, talk about how great God is and how much they trust God. But I'm telling you, when things turn upside down, that's when your relationship comes into play. Not just your belief, not just your faith. It is all tested. Your faith is tested. And that's when, here it is, your knowledge of God, that's when it kicks in. That's when you know. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying everything always going to work out fine, but I'm saying it's always going to be fine if you have a great relationship with Christ, because no matter what the circumstance, God is there. No matter what befalls you, God is there to catch you. You know what I'm saying? No matter what, if it's your time to go, you know, we have a saying in the military, you can turn as many corners as you want, you can run, jump, and hide, but when your number's up, your number's up. When God calls you home, you come home. But listen, you can go home, all right? The sinful being that you were, the unbelieving being that you were, or you can go home, right? Sinful, yes, we are. None of us is free from sin, but you can be saved by grace, right? Right? You can go home knowing that it was God who called you, knowing that it was just your time, and God has a special place for you, a reward, if you will, for you. And for me, that's part of what knowing God. Knowing God is not questioning every single thing that He does. But if I do have a question, here it is. Knowing God means that I can ask for clarification. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to walk around being afraid of God. As I brought up that scripture earlier, I only wanted to bring up the point that it says that we should fear our God, right? I don't believe that God has given us that spirit of fear. It's something that we pick up along the way. But at the same time, I just believe that reverence, when it speaks of that fear, that's that reverence of God, not to be afraid of God, but hold Him in high regard. And I think that once we all get there, once we get there and we understand why we do what we do, I'm telling you, man, this world is going to be a much better place. It is going to be a much better place. So I would just say, you know, when getting to know God, you know, pursue God with all your heart and all your mind, everything. Give it all to Him. Those deep, dark secrets you think people can't forgive you of, don't worry about people forgiving you. You give them to God and allow God to forgive you. Allow God to heal you. And so before we close out on that, Jason, I want to give you a chance to speak on it. So in your getting to know God, what advice would you give anybody who's trying to just get to know God for who He is?
I think you said it. I think you said, like, in the moments when you're tested, it no longer becomes head knowledge. Now it becomes a heart. It becomes a heart situation. And I tell people, right, Like, this last couple of years have been just crazy for me, you know. Second wife left me, you know, got fired from a job. My kids stopped talking to me. And anybody would look at those situations and be like, man, you had the hardest time. But what I'll tell you is this. I knew God in my head, right? Oh, God's the God of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and he's the God of blessing and, you know, and all this stuff. But as you go through those hard times, you know, and you know, I have a hard time when people say, well, God doesn't want you to be sad. God doesn't want you to go to a hard time. But what I tell them is this. Look, I've come to know him, but if I never experienced that hard time, I don't know what it feels like for God to sit there and comfort me. And because now I know how God sits there and comforts me, my head knowledge becomes now a heart. It now becomes a heart experience. And I experience God in a way that you may never. Because if your God don't want you to ever be in a bad situation, then you never get to have God sit next to you in that bad situation and comfort you. Well, I know God like that because he allowed me to go through that. So what I would tell people is that transition from that head knowledge to heart experience sometimes comes through those trials. And those are the times where, you know, we say this all the time, you know, you impress people with your successes. You connect with people through your failures and your vulnerabilities. It's in those times where I'm sitting there, you know, near tears because I feel like my life is falling apart, where God just comes and like I said, you know, we don't think there's a tangible experience, but I would tell you, it was just like I was sitting there and someone just took me in their arms and just held me and said, it's going to be all right, experience I had with God. And that shifted it from a head knowledge to a heart experience. So we really want to know God, and we really want to, you know, truly understand what he is. We just got to have that heart experience with him. And can't be afraid to walk in some of those, what we would label as bad situations. Because there is no such thing as a bad situation when you serve a great God. You know, it's just an opportunity to connect with them. And that's what I tell people. You know, if I had to tell somebody that, I just look at everything as an opportunity to connect with them, because he's always going to be there. That's not going to be no situation you in that if you don't invite God in, he ain't going to be there with you. And if you just constantly seek him and find him, you'll change that head knowledge to a heart experience. And then that's when I agree with you. That's when you really start to know God. Because now it's not like this is a God I read about. You know, this is a God that the pastor preached about. And this is a God that moved in my life. And this is how he did it. Right? And I think that's when we talk about developing that relationship, I think that's really how we get to know God. And that's the beautiful thing is he wants to know us like that. And he wants to be known like that. Right? You know, he wants to be known from that intimacy and that closeness, and he wants us. He wants to know us, and he wants to be known that way. So when people say, "Well, you're a Christian, how you ain't supposed to be past? You live in joy. You live in peace and joy." I'm like, I do live in peace and joy, but God wants to know every aspect of me, every part of my heart. He wants to know. So there's a part of my heart that walking in that peace and joy. It didn't go away. It's just I'm not walking in at that time. God wants to know that. He wants to be there with me in that situation. You know, so yeah, I think, you know, we can't shy away from, you know, those things that we think are negative and like, well, that ain't from God. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm not gonna say every bad thing is, but I'm not gonna dismiss every bad thing to be not. You know, so I think, you know, like you said, and you're your experience is what I love about the experience you went through. I mean, it was a hard time, but it kind of helped twofold. You know, when you were laying there and couldn't do anything, the result of your relationship with God allowed you to find that peace in that circumstance. And at the same time, you were able to develop even a closer relationship. That's when you know God is moving, when you can use the past and the present all in the same situation, right? It was that past relationship with God that allowed you to have the peace as you laid there, not knowing if you're ever going to move again. But at the same time, in that moment that the past was operating, it actually propelled you for your future, right? Only God can take care of your past, present, and future in one moment, you know? So that's one thing I really love about that story.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that, but I will tell you this, man, like you said, it doesn't mean that he's going to remove you from that situation. It doesn't. But I will tell you this. to this day, it's been what, a little over a year and a half, and I will tell you now, man, I started walking about this time last year after being flat on my back for about, I don't know, 5-6 months. And just to let you know, the schedule the doctors had for me, but they told me that I probably wouldn't start walking till about this time, without a cast or without crutches or without any kind of aid. But I'm a year in. I still have lots and lots of pains that I have to grow through. But I'm telling you this to say that just because you have a relationship with God, just because God has a special plan for you, He delivers you from a situation, a very dire situation. Listen, it doesn't mean that He's going to remove it from you. He doesn't remove you from the storm. He basically gives you an umbrella. He gives you this place to protect you. He gives you a safe haven so that you can through the storm. You know what I'm saying? And that's how God works. And so when you want a good, if you want to know how to get to a Jason Hour, you know, again, just give it all to Him. Know Jesus for yourself. Get to know Him. Open up your heart and your mind and give Him all that is you. Be truthful, because I'm telling you, that is the simplest way, and it's not even simple. I'm going to be honest. It's not easy. Nothing is easy, but when you open up, you study the Word of God, you believe in what He says, right, right, and you accept Him in your heart and in your mind. I'm telling you, if you believe you can be saved, then you will be saved, and you cast all your burdens aside, right? Doesn't mean that you're not going to have a tough time, but it does mean that there's going to be somebody there to comfort you when you need it. That comforter that He sent you, it will be there, you hear me, and He will carry you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. So with that being said, I'm going to be ready to close out. And what I want to say is I want to say that God is real, and He can help us overcome any situation. Y'all know, about this time of day, I always say the same thing, and I want to go ahead and tell you again, you know, find something you love, right? You accept it, you embrace it, and you chase it, and that is your relentless pursuit. With that being said, Jason, you want to say goodbye to the people?
Yeah, guys, just have a blessed day.
Have a beautiful weekend, and know that we love you and we're praying for you all. God bless you. God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful weekend. This is Minister Cedric on Elation Radio. We're signing off. God, have a wonderful weekend.
So astonishing, future looks bright, so promising. You're a great wonder, no wondering.
Look, you're amazing, look, you're amazing, yeah.
I'm amazed by you, of it all. Your ways are perfect, there are no flaws. Hard to come here, no sounds out, but
look, you're amazing, look, you're amazing, yeah.
A fern to the virgin, where it's not a fairy tale. Then we had a plan, but it did fail. Pour it out, blood, I escaped hell.
Look, you're amazing, look, you're amazing, yeah.
Set me free, you gave me eternal life. You gave up your life, you sacrificed. Made old things new, made the wrong right.
Look, you're amazing, look, you're amazing,
I need,
yeah.
Up in. Look at the name we entangle with. Look at the flame is lit. You cannot shame a kid. On mission, you know it's every day. And we count the cost, that's a major bank. Our sins on the cross, that's a heavyweight. Yeah, you made the way, now we tailor-made. And he done met the man on the ebony. Spirit running through me like I'm on an IV. Now they see me shine bright like some high beams. And we tripping with the vision, cut the visine. And we blazing trails like it's dame time. And we bring the heat like it's wave time. And he take the lead like it's game fine. And y'all be my set, so I bang mine. Praying that these young hitters really get it. Hope that they got amazing, this is not a gimmick. Hope that they're like official, man, it's not a scrimmage. Hope that they're here, switching, you can come and get it. They say that they thought they green like they Kyrie. I say
and I give them all the praises.
Lord, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
I remember on the day that Jesus, Jesus healed my baby. He's a healer, he's amazing.
Lord, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
I can gamble with a maybe. Gotta praise him on the daily. He'll never leave me, never forsake me.
Lord, you're amazing, you're so amazing, yeah.
I think the world got it mixed up. Selling your soul for the big bucks. Gotta go to God, get it fixed up. Gotta go to God, get it fixed up.